Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you live from the Live X studio in Midtown Manhattan, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we'll try to forget the Bears game and come to grips with meaningless December football. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Tyler Lancaster.
We got the bad. We got
Jimmy Graham.
We got the ugly. We got
Aaron Rodgers' accuracy. Ooh. If there's one word to describe it, it's ugly. Wow. How you doing there, Banky?
Doing good, doing good. Wish the Packers won.
Can you believe now that playoffs are officially done, officially over, the dream is dead, we've only got two more Packers games left.
And yet we still have to do this show.
Well, I was going to say, so that means what?
We have three
two
more shows.
Two more shows? Three more shows. Three including this one.
Yeah.
Two after this
two one. After this one.
It's a sad day. But you know what? There's nothing like the tradition. The tradition of doing this show in a closed off studio until we finally go live and then someone comes to adjust my shot. Every single week, it has to happen. Tradition. That's what we're all about, tradition here.
Consistency and frequency. Those are the two most important things to have on YouTube.
Oh my gosh. I love it. I love it. So in light of the fact that playoffs are done, two games left, they don't mean anything except for maybe some evaluation of some of the younger players on the squad. It's pretty much the off-season, Banky, which means that Brian Gutekunst and company have some decisions to make. And
yes,
we thought the transplants audience should help out in that process. Now, there are lots of ways that Gutekunst can go about shaping his roster.
Yep.
One of which is cutting players due to perhaps salary cap issues and or ballooning salaries for not a whole lot of production. Any number of reasons that they can move on from players. We've picked four in particular that we've decided. Mark Murphy has come to Brian Gutekunst and said, one of these guys has to go. And it's up to you, the transplants audience, to figure it out. One of these contracts has got to get ripped up. Is it Nick Perry? Is it Jimmy Graham? Is it Brian Bulaga? Or is it Mason Crosby? You see the hashtags there on your screen. It's hashtag CHTV and then the last name of each player. CHTV Perry, CHTV Graham.
Who's got to go?
Bulaga, CHTV Crosby. Let us know. We'll keep track throughout the show. We'll have the heads of said players available from time to time on the screen. We'll see who's the leading vote getter at the end of the show. And at the end of our program, whoever the player is that the transplants audience deems the winner, so to speak, will watch his contract get ripped up. That's the way we do it.
All right.
We do the Packers work for him.
That's cool. Oh, I see the hashtags coming in. Oh, wow.
Oh, Nick Perry taking an early lead.
I like the action on
Look at that. Oh, you see?
See, that's what I was saying.
There you go.
You don't just want the heads to be big.
Oh, you got a little
good
action.
Good job, Dev Team.
Well done, Dev Team.
Dev Team, I love it. I'm liking it.
Better keep start than last week. That's good.
Much better start. We'll see how they finish.
We'll see how it works. Hey, how you start, it's how you finish.
A lot of ball game left, Nagler.
A lot of ball game left. All right, let's get to some Packers news, shall we? Packers news. There's always a lot of it.
There's Packers news?
Apparently. Number one is actually already incorrect because Aaron Jones is officially on injured reserve. However, Kenny Clark, it was reported last night by Tom Pelissero of NFL Network that Clark had been informed that he was going on injured reserve. However, our good buddy Rob Domofsky reporting right before we went live here that as of right now, Kenny Clark is not being placed in injury reserve. There was a quote-unquote miscommunication, to use Rob's word. But signs still point to Clark landing on injured reserve. Probably a good chance they shut him down. Why play him with that elbow injury in two meaningless games? So Jones and Clark essentially most likely done for the season. I know you're going to love this. Packers picking up running backs off of waivers.
Wow.
Capri Bibbs coming off the waivers with Washington. Banky, I know you're excited. Got to get that running back depth in-house.
Nothing like trading players you don't want with Washington Redskins.
So Bibbs was added. And then in addition, It's also the season. It's that season where you shut down guys, you don't want to get hurt, and then you go pilfer players you like from other teams' practice squads. That's what the Packers have done with Alan Lazard. Signed off the Jacksonville practice squad. He's a wide receiver. He's a big guy out of Iowa State. Not a burner, but a big body who will go up and get it. If you watched his college game at all, you know he's a monster. He's a guy who really skies over guys, and he's not a very refined route runner. Like I said, not exactly a speed merchant, but he's a big guy. he's a former tight end who will bust you.
You've gotten really good at all these like little catchphrases for ways of making practice squad guys interesting.
Hey man,
kudos!
It's the scouting community. Kudos! You got to hang with the scouts.
That's why you like the combine.
That's why I like the combine.
You learn how to get those, dude.
You have never lived. I'm gonna just tell you right now. You haven't lived until you've been in a bar in Indianapolis at like 2:30 in the morning, talking players and personnel with like an NFL head coach, an NFL personnel guy, and a national scout, like from three separate teams. And you're just like, it's so late, you can barely keep your eyes open, but you can't leave. I talk about this with my buddies all the time. It's like the combine is just one big FOMO. It's just, you don't ever want to go to bed because you know the second you leave, like,
news is going to get made.
Well, or it's just like Sean Payton's going to walk through the door and buy everybody drinks.
Yeah, John Gruden came in.
John Gruden's going to come in and just
sang the Macarena.
Last year, I got to the steakhouse just as Sean Payton literally jumped on a table. I mean, these are the things that happen. Like, and then, like, you leave, and then your buddies text you, like, oh, my God, Mike McCarthy walked in right after you left. Although that never happened. Mike never went out. But, like, you know, it's like that's the whole week. So you stay up until like 4, and then you get a couple hours sleep, and then you go to the actual combine at like 9 in the morning, and then you repeat for the week. So yes, I've learned some things while talking to scouts and personnel people over the years, just to make you excited about practice squad guys. How am I doing?
Not very well.
All right, very good.
That's a really hard task.
That's a hard sell, huh?
Yeah.
Well, here's a different sell. So we're shutting down Aaron Jones, shutting down Kenny Clark, supposedly, all making sense. Aaron Rodgers suffered a groin injury on Sunday against the Bears. So it makes a lot of sense. Two meaningless football games coming up. Sit down your franchise
kid. No, you don't do that.
Sit him down.
You don't do that.
You did it last year.
You don't do that.
Sit him down. He's dealing with a knee injury all year.
What did it last year?
Last year, when they were eliminated from playoff contention after he came back against Carolina, they shut him down.
That comeback didn't really count.
Oh, okay. It's the same logic.
He was still injured.
He's still injured now.
Yeah, and a lot of people think he's been injured since the Bears game.
He's been on the injury report every single week. So sit him down. This guy makes more money than anybody in the building. He is the franchise. You put everything into him. If he gets hurt even a little bit in one of these stupid, meaningless football games, you get everything you deserve.
Well, did you see, as we were about to go live 20 minutes before, someone tweeted, one of the beat writers tweeted that Aaron Rodgers has a quote about leadership and how he wants to go out there because he wants to be a good leader and he doesn't want to just make it so that like he's just taking a paycheck and phoning it in.
That's great. And that's wonderful.
And ultimately,
and I applaud that sentiment.
Coach should make that decision for him.
Exactly.
And we don't.
Exactly.
And,
you know, somebody in the building who is responsible,
an adult,
needs to make that decision and say to Aaron, look, thank you.
Yeah.
We appreciate you wanting to be out there.
Here's your Here's your $500,000. We have to see what we got in Kaiser.
But nah. That's it. I mean, this is not hard. But Phil been playing all coy, like, ooh, if everyone who's healthy will play. Just, is Aaron going to play or not? You know, right?
Yeah,
now.
But at the same
you
time,
you know he's not.
If he's not going to play, then you got to kind of tease it.
Why?
The Jets. You got to make the Jets.
Oh, you need to play mind games with one of the worst teams in the league?
Why not?
Oh, my God.
They're not the worst team in the league.
Nope. Well, they're one of them. That's why Mike McCarthy's going to probably interview there and maybe get a head coaching job. That would be great. If Mike came to New York, that'd be great. We'd be out for a steak with him like every week. It'd be perfect.
You think he'd actually come on this show?
Oh, yeah. Zero doubt. In the summer, like before things heat up? Yeah, definitely. We'll have him on. Well, what's the worst is I was really hoping to get him in for a watch party, but that's not going to happen.
No.
But that would be so dope.
That would be amazing.
That'd be incredible. He'd be like, you see what Aaron did here? He changed the call.
How many times?
Hate it when he does that.
How many times do you think he would say it's like anything?
Oh, I don't know. It's really infected the whole building, though.
You'd have
Oh, my God. Everyone's saying it now.
You'd have to do an over-under on that.
It'd be a lot. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I'd take the over.
I would take the over, yeah.
So, Rodgers and Bulaga, both practicing. The poor people in the control room. They didn't realize I was going to the Rodgers and Bulaga were practicing. That whole bit was about Rodgers, but we had Lazard on the
Way to go, Danielle.
So Aaron Rodgers and Bulaga practicing. Bulaga, another guy, I guess. I mean, sure, roll him out there in these two meaningless games. Especially if Aaron Rodgers is playing. Then he's got to play.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that makes a sense. If they're like a, you know.
I mean, I feel like
buy one, get one free. Like, if you're playing Rodgers, you got to play Bulaga.
Yeah.
I mean.
I feel like we're going to win, though.
Great.
Even if we play Kaiser, I feel like we're going to win. Have you watched the Jets?
Have you watched Kaiser?
I saw him in the preseason.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
I saw him in the preseason.
They could win. Darnold looks pretty good, though. The Jets QB. The kid that had a good game against the Texans. And if you can hang against the Texans, you sure as hell can hang against the Packers. I mean,
we'll see.
I'm just saying. All right, let's get to the offense. Let's get to Jamal Williams. I mean.
Oh, now we're in that. Okay, I got that. Sorry.
So Aaron Jones gets a handful of carries and then hurts his MCL again down in Soldier Field on that craptastic turf that they have. And I just wanted to give Jamal Williams a shout out because, you know, coming into this game, he didn't expect to get a ton of work.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't since Jones has become the guy.
Yeah.
And Williams just delivered. Now,
Williams kind of was doing that last season.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's where Mike was kind of getting in this conundrum of like, hey, I do have two good guys.
I've got talent back.
At some point, I feel like Aaron Jones was a much elevated sooner, right?
I don't think there's any question.
But ultimately, like, he's good running
back. He's not a scrub.
No.
You know, and I think a lot of people get down on him because Jones is so good and they get frustrated that he's not out there.
Yeah.
But again, were there some misreads, like some, you know, thing? He even missed a block, which that's his forte. But hell, Williams is such a good player. He's just a guy who relishes contact. And I just love to see that on the football field.
He really
does. You know, I just love a guy who is not afraid to mix it up. He had one protection where he slid over from left to right, came all the way across the formation to pick up the blitz. It's like stuff like that. Like, he's just a good football player. And I just wanted to give him a shout out because, you know, that, like I said, that's a game he was not expecting to get a ton of work, and he got a ton of work. Mm-hmm. And he answered the call. And that's what you want. That's being a pro. So hats off to him. I'm going to keep my hat on, though, for Mr. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Lord.
And his multiple misses. Now, I know the two misses at the end of the game were the most, like, horrific, egregious, awful things. We did a whole post about it at Cheesehead TV. If you haven't seen it, check it out. CheeseheadTV.com. Highly recommended. If you haven't been to that website yet, you should check it out. It's really good.
The miss to MVS was...
The miss to MVS was awful. I mean, that's a ball that he's hit 100 times and used to hit in his sleep. And for whatever reason, he's just off. But this is... I want to play this play where he's scrambling to his right and he's got Cobb breaking free. And he's got Mac Barron down on him, but this is a play that he's made 1,000 times.
It's just ugly.
And it's just, this just sails on him. And I know he said the wind got it, but
no.
Rodgers has thrown in through the wind 1 billion times in his career in that stadium. He's made throws like that.
Dude, I'm just going to say this right now.
You know, and it's just, what is that?
His bullshit meter. His bullshit meter, seriously.
Oh, dear. Here we go.
In the last 6 weeks,
yeah,
8 weeks, the amount of BS coming from QB1 mm-hmm. has increased. Well, I'm just going to say that.
Okay.
Like, I'm sorry. You can't outthink us forever, bro.
Right. Now, it's just, to me, it's like that throw right there is the one instance where I'm looking at the tape and I'm thinking, just watching how he quick releases, it's all wrist. And it used to be, oh, Rodgers, a flick of the wrist. And he goes, blah, 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 blah. But, like, that's the one throw in that game where I'm like, are there lingering effects with the shoulder? Because that's a throw in the past where if he's rolling, no, he can't step into it because he's running. But you see him, like, torque his body and make at least this, you know, like he's using his shoulder. In that throw, he's not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's literally all wrist. And it sails on him because he's not putting any torque on it. He's not putting power on it to drive it through the wind, etc. Yeah. And I'm thinking, maybe there's something to this whole, like, he's been robbed a little bit of some of the power he used to have. Hmm. Maybe there's something.
I mean, there's
got to
be
there.
Look, there's
got to
be
something. And I got nothing else. I got nothing to base it on other than watching tape and comparing it to how he used to throw. But you watch that throw and you're like, what's going on with the shoulder? What is going on?
Well, is this the time we're talking about the thing I wanted to talk about?
No, that's in blogosphere.
Oh.
We got to hold on.
But my thing was about Rodgers.
I know. Okay. But it was based off a tweet, which we found in the blogosphere. So we will talk about it in the blogosphere.
Oh, but I didn't care about the tweet.
I know. But that was the jumping off point.
Oh, gotcha.
Just wait. Just be patient. You got to eat.
You're talking.
You got to eat your vegetables first.
I'm in the vegetables, and I thought there was some mashed potatoes with some gravy, and I wanted to eat those. But now you're telling me that I don't get mashed potatoes and gravy till later.
Because why? Because you want it, right? You want it so bad. That's because it's dessert. You want to get to it. Like, it's the good stuff.
Okay.
The good stuff is the dessert. You
got
to wait.
Got it.
All right. No one has any idea what we're talking about right now.
No one cares.
Exactly. Finally, on the offensive side of the ball, can we just, I mean, you brought this up. Corey Behnke, NFL analyst extraordinaire, brought this up weeks ago. And I think as the year has gone on, it's only played out, proving your point. Whoa, daddy, do they need to address the offensive line this offseason? I mean, it has to be. Every year we say, oh, that's a priority. We got to protect Rodgers, like blah, blah, blah. It's a priority.
So do you think they'll take a lineman in the first round?
I think they should if one is available and one of those picks and tier-wise as far as, you know,
where
they are.
A-tier.
If it makes sense,
not
absolutely.
Yeah.
If they're, like, hovering around 10, 12, whatever, like it was, which is basically where they are now.
And there's some Ohio
State.
Some
Ohio State corn-fed brawler. Hell yes, they should take an offensive lineman. Now, again.
Now, where are they going to put left tackle?
Who knows?
Left tackle moved Bakhtiari to the right side.
No, they got Bakhtiari. Bakhtiari's, you don't want to mess with Bakhtiari.
They
need a right tackle. They can address guard later in the draft, unless there's some all-world Nelson type, although I don't think there is this year.
But then they need
a tackle.
But then you miss, if you do that in the first round, you miss the, I mean, what's more, what do you think?
Here we go.
Okay, what do you think is more important? Mm-hmm. Because, look, they're not going to take a corner in the first round, okay?
Could you imagine?
Please, Lord, do not. Okay, so
they got
pretty much, unless they take a quarterback, which I don't see them doing, even though I think they probably should in the first round.
I think they're a year early on quarterback.
But you never know based on who you have, right?
Especially because they have two picks.
Right.
You never know.
So is it going to be offensive line and defensive line?
I would.
The two picks?
A heartbeat. If those are available and tier-wise they make sense.
Yeah. You don't want to take a second round
guy. I don't
want
to take it just to take it.
Yeah.
But, and I will say this, and I've been saying this on Daily pretty much every day because people are starting to ask about the draft, etc. Look, there's a lot to play out yet. Uh-huh. As far as if there's a skill position guy there, is he right for the system? What's the system?
What if they take a tight end in the first round?
Who's the coach? What kind of players does he need to run what he wants to run? Like, there's so much. Now, at some point, a good football player is a good football player, and you're going to take him regardless.
Yeah.
But it does enter into it.
But we're not going to move back to the 4-3. I mean, Pettine's there.
It's possible. Yeah, but Pettine might not be there. That's my point. If some coach comes in and brings a defensive coordinator with him and lets Pettine go and they go to a 4-3, that completely changes how they go about building the defensive side of the football.
Yeah. Dude, if we go back to a 4-3, since we just moved to a 3-4 like 8 years ago.
Yeah, you say that, but they didn't just. I mean,
so annoying.
The NFL is cyclical, you know? Remember when we were like...
But who runs a 4-3? Anyone? Three or four teams, right? Most people are running a 3-4 now.
No. It's about 50-50.
Oh, okay. No. I didn't realize that.
For a long time, it was almost all 4-3.
Right.
And then 3-4 kind of started to pick up steam. The Packers were kind of
because of Dom Capers' tree, right?
Well,
Dick LeBeau. Yeah.
But, like, it's funny, too, because when the Packers went to the 3-4 after getting rid of Bates, it was kind of still not widely as run as it is now. But now it's like 50-50. Maybe tipping.
And some of that comes from you can't get that fourth guy that big. It's harder to get that, right?
So the other thing is
the linebacker.
The other thing is at this point in the NFL, as far as the development of, you know, schemes on both sides of the ball, it's so sub-based and you're in sub so much. I mean, as Pettine said at the beginning of the season, it's like 75% of the time you're in nickel, you know, or you're starting a nickel because of what the offense is doing. You know, that nickel corner has become a starter, basically. And that means that one of those front guys is off the field. So 3-4-4-3, so many people run so much hybrid at this point that it's not passe, and it's not, you know, useless or not pertinent or whatever, but it is, the lines are blurring more these days. But, you know, somebody like Pete Carroll runs, a 4-3 with a cover 3 behind it, etc. Like, these things still matter, you know? And
yeah, there are,
number of times you have a guy with
body type and a different personnel grouping.
And the number of times you have a guy with his hand on the ground as opposed to standing up.
Yep.
Like, all these things matter. And then what kind of defensive tackles are you? If you're running what Pettine runs, you need a different type of body than you do if you're running like what Pete Carroll runs.
So, well, and if you're in a 3-4, you really need a stopper. You really need a plugger.
You need a Kenny Clark.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, that's what I mean when I say it's not as easy as like, well, they're going to take this position and that position. Well, who's available? What scheme are they running? What do they need? If they are transitioning to a 4-3, they got a whole makeover to do up in front.
Please, let's not do that.
You know? Well, we'll see.
I felt like the defense was coming along.
It is, but if Mike Pettine's still a work in progress.
Why do you have to depress me?
It's not depressing. It's exciting. This is my favorite time of year. It really is. Getting to the offseason, getting to the team building aspect of it, I love it.
In NASCAR, they call that the silly season.
No, the silly season is the start of free agency. When, you know, mid-level, almost replacement-level guys are getting, like, ridiculous contracts.
Yeah.
That's the silly season. To me, anyway. Andrew says, a lot of show left. I don't know what that means, but I'm scared. Hey, let's remind people, if, you know, you want to help build the Packers roster, which we're talking about
hashtags,
here,
people.
But use your hashtags wherever you are, whether you're on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. What's the other one? Twitter. Yeah, that Twitter thing. These are the hashtags. It's on the screen right now. One of these contracts has to go. You, the Transplants audience, can help us determine whose contract gets ripped up at the end of this season. Is it Nick Perry? Is it Jimmy Graham? Is it Brian Bulaga? Or is it Mason Crosby? Hashtag CHTV in their last names. Use those, and we will tell you at the end of the show who you, the Transplants audience, have chosen to basically see the door.
It looks like there's a pretty lopsided margin right now.
Right now, it's leaning one way. But, hey, there's been some jockeying. When we last left,
there's a little bit of jockeying.
Mason Crosby was in second, and now he's in fourth. So, yeah, things are moving.
Are we talking about special teams now?
Well, no, we're going to the defense first.
Oh, the defense.
The defense first. And talking about defense, talking about players, talking about switching to a 3-4, 4-3, whatever, this guy can play in any defense as far as I'm concerned. Lancaster, the Packers have got a player. I mean, week in and week out, this guy comes to work and just, A, keeps getting better every week, and B, is probably playing better than pretty much anyone along the line other than Kenny Clark. And, you know, I know Mike Daniels had a bit of a up and down year, and he's on IR now, but, I mean, Lancaster could be an excellent complement to what they do with Daniels and Clark. And I wanted to show our friend Ben Fennell at The Athletic. He does a great film breakdown every week.
Yeah.
And he put together kind of a highlight reel of what, this is the kind of stuff, when I'm talking about Lancaster throughout the week and people are rolling their eyes, this is the stuff I'm talking about.
That was me rolling my eyes.
Exactly. But this is what I wanted to show. Look at that hand usage. Look at him shedding. Look at him making the tackle. This is the kind of stuff he's doing down in and down out. Look at this. He's taking on the center, holding the point, getting off the block, and making the tackle. And this, it happened. I'm telling you, this happens almost every down with this kid. It's crazy. Here he goes again. Taking on the center. He's two-gapping there.
Dude,
sheds the center. I'm telling you, his tape is incredible. And I can't shout out Ben enough for doing this, because this is the kind of stuff I never have time to do. Look at that move. Like, that running back literally is taking the handoff and is like, defensive tackle in my face.
So he's got one way to go. Yeah.
Completely abused my center. I'm telling you, they found a player. This kid is undrafted and he is wrecking fools. So I just
want to give him a shout. Undrafted?
Well, because he's a work hard, try hard, play hard, but doesn't have the measurables. It's all about athletic upside when you come to the draft, and these personnel guys get so infatuated by it. And some of it is, you know, who knows? Maybe there's some off-field stuff we don't know about. Maybe
their
homework, and maybe they, or maybe he's got attitude issues, whatever. And I'm not saying he does. I'm just saying these are the types of things that get bandied about.
Don't get drafted.
They talk about, and then that's what gets them bumped down.
It's like the it's like the NFL telephone game.
It really is. Oh my gosh. Well, and it's funny because if you talk to any personnel guy, and I think Daniel Jeremiah talks about this on NFL Network all the time. You know, it used to be the job was you do 75-80% film work, and then the rest of the job was what we're talking about, like going to schools and talking to people and hearing about character stuff. And now it's completely flipped.
Right.
Now it's like you spend maybe 20-25% of your time breaking down film, and all the rest of it is on the road doing character stuff, doing background work, because that's the stuff that sinks you.
Right.
And that's the stuff that you're investing all this money. You better make sure that this kid is rock solid, or he's going to blow up in your...
Well, and the videotape is pretty much on an iPad available.
Well, exactly. Well, and that's the other thing. It's like so... The schools make it for you now. And it's so easily, readily available now.
Yeah.
And it's so... Like, everything's computerized. Like, I want third downs from the far hash mark where they went left.
Where we were behind.
Here you go. Like, it, literally, it's that easy. So, yeah, it's not quite the work load it used to be. So, yeah, like I said, shout out to Lancaster. He's been really impressive. Can we talk about...
Oh, no.
Everybody's golden boy that I had to apologize on camera to. Kyler Fackrell. Where's Kyler Fackrell been?
Kyler nowhere.
Kind of fell off the face of the earth. Had a couple multi-sack games. I tell you what, that game in Seattle, I will give him props because that game was flipping amazing.
But how does that happen, though? How do you go from
that game to just disappear?
Did he put himself on tape and got himself recognized?
Maybe. And then I don't think so. I mean... No more so than I don't think he put anything on tape that they hadn't seen.
And who was he really up against?
You know, that's the other thing. Those are some pedestrian tackles. You know, I won't say pedestrian, but they're not exactly all world, pros that he's going
against. They are the 10-4 Bears. Oh, are they 10-4?
Don't depress me.
Man.
Don't depress me.
They are the 10-4 Bears, so they can't be that pedestrian.
Wilmer, if you want your vote to count, you got to use the hashtag, buddy, and use it all one word. Hashtag CHTV Graham. Make it all one and use the hashtag in the front. Just telling people how to use the old internet here. That's what I do. And finally, we talked about Mike Pettine. We talked about possibly moving on, new coaching staff, what have you. Can we just say Mike Pettine has made his case? Like, it's done.
I feel like that.
He has made his
case. I feel like, give him the job. I don't know how you could come. How many head coaches really have, you got it. I mean, if you're not, unless we're getting New England's coach.
Bill Belichick.
He's not bringing, he might bring his defensive coordinator, but is that really a thing anymore?
Oh, yeah. You'd be surprised.
I thought you bring all your assistants, but not the head assistant head coach.
I mean, here's the thing. A lot of it comes down to ownership. Telling whoever they're hiring,
you're
allowed to bring your staff. You're allowed to pick your staff, or like the Bears did last year, where they said you can keep the defensive coordinator because he's under contract, or you can bring your own.
Which is what we'll do.
Which is most likely Murphy and Gutekunst will say to guys in interviews.
But there are a lot of head coaches that we are going to be looking at guys.
Everybody.
Who have never head coached in the NFL.
Of course.
And if you've never head coached, you might want to bring somebody along. But having a veteran guy like Pettine and that thing down.
It's a great gift.
It's kind of a good thing for you.
It's a great gift.
Also, you only have to focus on, you focus on that side.
Yep.
But in some ways, it's an ownership thing too, right? If you come in and you get rid of Pettine and your defense isn't better than Pettine's, you own that.
If you wear it for your entire tenure.
If you go for a year and then you have that, you got another chance if it doesn't work.
It's funny, too, because a lot of it is personality driven. A lot of it is ego driven. Because if guys come in and say, you know, because you mentioned that a lot of who they will be interviewing will be people who haven't been a head coach in the NFL or whatever. I mean, maybe they'll interview the John Harbaughs, Ron Riveras of the world if they end up getting fired. But for the most part, it will most likely be first-time NFL head coaches. A lot of times these guys have spent years and years and years building their staff, so to speak. Meaning, look, they've at the combine, they've had beers with guys and said, look, when I get my shot,
you're gonna be my guy. Yeah.
So a lot of that comes down to their personality, what they talk about in the interview. And obviously they'll be asked, like, what would you want to do at defensive coordinator if it is an offensive guy? And they will say either, I'd really like to keep Mike Pettine on, or I've got a long relationship with so-and-so. I want him to come. And that's, you know, the part of...
I see both of them.
...what making that call for Murphy will be about. You know, whether he thinks, if he's sold on whoever he's talking to and lays out for him, here's, I want X, you know, Mr. X to come be my defensive coordinator because, and he lays it out in a presentation, unless it's Winston Moss, and he says, I'll just delegate that stuff. That's literally what Winston Moss said to the Rams when he interviewed there, which I think is still the funniest thing I've ever heard. But anyway, it's all about selling your program.
Yeah.
The idea of your program, anyway. So we'll see. But I just wanted to say, Mike Pettine has made his case. Like, I think he should get an interview for the head coaching job. I don't know. He has stated publicly a couple of times he's not interested in being a head coach anymore. I think Murphy and Gutekunst would be foolish not to ask him to interview.
I think they should do like what they do at the Vatican. they should have the white smoke. And they'll be like, we'll just be watching. I'm just going to like sit in my backyard with a beer. And I'm just going to wait and watch for the white
smoke.
Wait for
the white smoke.
And then we can be like, white smoke! I see the white smoke!
New coach! New coach!
Twitter, everything just goes crazy.
I love it. That's a really good idea, actually.
We should talk.
Maybe not white smoke, but some kind of symbolic
green and gold
gesture.
Smoke.
Green
a fireworks something. Display.
Yeah, there we go. Something
Show
over
up,
Lambeau
or
Field.
Or if the Packers, that would be kind of cool. If the Packers were like, all of a sudden, they were just like, anyone who's around Lambeau Field, show up at X time. No, don't do that because they can't light a Christmas tree, so don't do that.
Oh, had to go there. Had to go there. All right, I know you're dying to talk about special teams, so let's talk.
Oh, the golden boy. The golden boy, J.K. Scott.
Namely,
okay.
Let's talk about this tweet that our good friend Michael Cohen put out. That
it was a good tweet.
This is an interesting tweet that Michael put up
Let's see the tweet.
Punting.
One day, let's see the tweet.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. Do we have it?
No tweet.
Gaff, do we have it?
I see it.
I put it in show creator, Gaff.
In the thing. The punting tweet.
Punting. Number
Michael
17.
Cohen, punting tweet.
Q17, Gaff.
Why do we even do this
That's a fail.
why do
anyway,
we do
this
show?
Anyway, well, let's
read the tweet.
I'll bring it up.
Michael Cohen compared
J.K. Scott.
J.K. Scott, this year stats.
And Justin Vogel.
To Justin Vogel's
the man he
last
replaced.
Year stats. Okay?
It's interesting.
It's very interesting. There's a couple stats that J.K. Scott does better, and there's a couple stats that are just kind
of
like...
I'll say most of the stats.
It's mostly muddled.
J.K. Scott is 20th in yards per punt with 45. Vogel was 23rd. So, advantage Scott. J.K. Scott...
I mean, by three.
Okay. J.K. Scott, 25th in net. Vogel was... 7th in net.
Okay.
J.K. Scott tied for 23rd with punts inside the 20. Justin Vogel is tied for 29th, punts inside the 20. So advantage Scott on that one. J.K. Scott, most touchbacks in the NFL with 8. Vogel was second fewest touchbacks with 2. Now, as someone stepped to you on Twitter with...
Oh, God.
We had different gunners.
The gunners.
I love it. People like come up with any kind of excuse.
Look, if you're adding me about J.K. Scott, I will unfollow you, and then I will meet you, and then I will block
wrecked.
You. And then I will take your avatar, burn it to the ground.
Oh, my God.
J.K. Scott is a draft bust. We wasted a draft pick on J.K. Scott. I don't have to wait 3 years to know that.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
You do.
Bust. You could have literally gotten, and they did last year. They got a dude off the street
in Justin
who did just as good as J.K. Scott. Instead, they wasted a draft pick on a guy who is as good as a guy on the street. Good job.
Feel better now?
Good job. I don't feel good at all.
All right.
I feel terrible. We're not in the playoffs.
Wasted a fifth-round pick on a punter.
Wasted a fifth-round pick on a punter. What if that fifth-round pick was a guy like Lancaster, right?
Yeah, maybe. Never know. Or maybe it was just like some nondescript guy who can't get on the field. We'll never know. I think you're getting, you know, a little bent out of shape about it, but I understand it.
I'm not bent out of shape.
Your point is a good one.
What makes me bent out of shape is when I say truths.
Oh, no.
And then people come at me.
Truths, like, you know... You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our point of view. I mean,
yeah, the point
you
of
say
view
he's a draft bust, but it's like you got to wait 3 years.
If
you have said repeatedly, and I can pull
not for a punter.
Okay, so it's totally different for a punter.
Well, because no one drafts a punter in the draft.
Except for the Seahawks, who have one of the best punters in the league.
So let's do what the Seahawks do.
Well, if it leads to results,
when's
why
the last time
you?
The Seahawks won the Super Bowl?
More recently than the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just
they won without that punter. Okay.
God.
There, if you poll 32 coaches in the NFL.
Okay, wait.
If you poll 32 coaches in the NFL at the combine, this is going to be a new combine mission, okay?
Okay, I got it.
All right, you got
32
this?
Coaches at the combine.
32 coaches
wait,
at the combine.
Special teams coaches or head coaches?
No, you know what? Anybody you talk to.
Any coach.
You should just, as a question.
Guy. All right.
This is the question.
All right.
Should you,
as a matter of pride, as a matter of principle, as a matter of your job.
Should you draft a punter in the draft? Do you think it's a good idea to draft a punter, not a kicker,
nope.
A punter.
Punter?
Do you think it's a good idea to use a, I won't say waste a draft pick because that's leading the witness.
Right.
I'm going to say use a draft pick on a punter.
Hey, can we have the dev team draw up something so I can do this? Like I can do something live where I'm like asking these guys at the tables or whatever. And then like, we'll have like some animation come.
No, we'll do a, what we'll do is we'll do a jump cut. So it'll just be like you
no,
asking?
Yes,
and like,
no,
yes,
yes,
no,
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 yes,
no,
yes, no,
yes,
no.
And then we'll have the vote.
I like it. That's
Everyone's
good.
Gonna say no.
That's good.
I'm anticipating now it's gonna be 80-20.
Okay, can I just say? Well, J.K. Scott is still young, says Brian. Well,
yeah.
Vogel wasn't?
He's literally 12.
Hey, he's got Wisconsin roots. Be nice. I will say, everyone, be on your best behavior. My father is watching. Leonard Nagler.
Not anymore.
Leonard Nagler has joined.
Not anymore.
Oh yes.
He got on, then right he now. Got off. He was like, oh, wait, I didn't mean that.
He's like, let me see what these fools are talking
he's
about.
He's like, oh, look, that's my son.
Leonard Nagler in the house. Yeah. All right, so they play the Jets.
The Jets.
Right over there.
The Jets.
On Sunday.
The Jets of New Jersey.
You'll be there.
Yes, I will.
I'll be here.
I'll be tailgating.
Somebody's got to work. So it'll be me.
I'll be tailgating.
You'll be tailgating. I'm going to tailgate. I'm going to bring stuff just to tailgate. Who's my producer this week?
I have no idea.
Okay, I'll have to check. Gaff, is it you?
Hopefully
are you here
someone
Sunday?
Not working on this show right now. Because if it's somebody who's working on the show currently, you're in for it.
Oh, no. All right. So they're playing the Jets.
Yes.
We can expect Jair Alexander.
We're talking about the Packers, Nagler.
I know.
Okay, just FYI.
They're playing the Jets.
Yeah.
So it's like the keys.
I know. I'm just reminding you.
There's three.
Like
of them.
We're in a show and we're talking about the Packers.
Three of them. Three keys to beating the Jets.
What are they?
Jair Alexander matching up with Robbie Anderson.
Okay.
Their lone threat.
Okay.
Like this is a good test for the young man
yep.
because they're going to feed this kid and Jair Alexander has to be up for the test.
I'm smelling a pick.
Healthy dose of Jamal Williams. Aaron Jones gone the way of the dodo for this season. It's time to ride that horse. Give Williams plenty of carries. Don't put the ball in the air. Shorten the game. Let's get the hell out of there. Keep everybody healthy. And finally, I think this is the most underreported aspect, narrative, whatever you want to call, from this week. It's the Mike Pennell revenge game. Pennell picked up by the Jets. He's playing pretty well, actually, out here in New York. He's actually having a decent season. Playing pretty well. And you know he wants to put on tape. Him wrecking Corey Linsley.
Yeah.
Him wrecking Lane Taylor.
I don't see him.
Him wrecking Lucas Patrick.
I don't see him wrecking Corey Linsley.
I don't either. Although Corey had probably his roughest game of the year last week. But those are two all world guys.
I still don't see him doing that.
I don't either. But it's the Mike Pennell revenge game. You heard it here first on Cheesehead TV. Mike Pennell revenge game. You got anything to add to the New York Jets preview? Who the Green Bay Packers are playing this week, Corey?
No, I just hope we win.
So do I. Although I'm sure there are a lot of people who
sure,
are
like, a better draft because of the draft. That's stupid.
I agree. All right. Roll it, Gaff.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right! It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series.
You know what's funny is in the chat?
Yeah.
Julian?
Uh-oh.
Who's played worse this year, Rodgers or Brady? It's like he
knew
what we were
going to talk about. Hey, it's like you read the script! That's amazing,
wow.
Julian!
So I actually sent something to Nagler to add to the script, which is a rarity.
This never happens.
So I saw this tweet. Hopefully we have this tweet.
Do we have this tweet?
You know we want to show tweets sometimes, you guys.
I uploaded them into Show Creator. Okay. Apparently
so,
there it is! There we go. Tweet.
So this guy, who I don't care about this guy, right? He posts his thing and he's like...
He's great because he always rips on Brady.
Yeah, so, you know, basically this is old news right now because Rodgers has one more interception, two more interceptions.
Yeah, he has one more interception. Yeah, he had an interception.
So it's really 3,700 yards for both of them, 23 touchdowns, two interceptions against eight interceptions, 99.6 and a 98.2. So what I want to talk about is not what he says. He says, funny how Aaron Rodgers had a down year, but he's still... Blah, 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 blah.
Better than the GOAT.
Blah, whatever. Here's what I want to talk about.
Right.
Okay, so you gotta.
This is the dessert, Banky.
Okay, so when I'm talking about this, what I want to talk about is something overall where I feel like, so Rodgers grew up, he was a big Joe Montana and Steve Young fan.
Right.
Both of those guys are known for not throwing picks, but specifically, actually, both of them are known for not throwing picks in the red zone, right? In playoffs and in the red zone. It's something that was harped on when Brett Favre was here. People would be like, oh, he's not Joe Montana. He's Steve Young because okay. So riddle me this. So I feel like in Rodgers' head, he's taken this to an extreme and been like, interceptions are bad, which I would agree. For the most part, interceptions are bad. But think about this. If you're always playing it safe, so how many throwaways did he have in this game? He had... I think you had it in the thing.
A bunch. No, I didn't.
I saw there was like 14 to 16 throwaways. It's over 10, right?
Yep.
So imagine if he's throwing it away, it means he doesn't have a safe, conservative shot, right? But think about Brett Favre back in the day. And he had a lot of interceptions, right? But for how many interceptions did he have? Did he have like, and I feel like earlier in his career, he had a lot more successes than he did interceptions.
Well, he had a ton of interceptions early.
Yep.
And then he became... amazing and won 3 MVPs.
Yep.
And then he had a bunch of interceptions.
Yep.
Then McCarthy kind of fixed him, and then he didn't. And then at the end, he did again.
Right. So there would be times you throw it away. But again, he wasn't so worried about interceptions. Like, I remember Favre's press conference. He'd be like, I don't care about interceptions, right? And there's something to be said about this mentality. Now, look, you got to play for the game. You have to play to win the game, not play to win the down, right? Favre always played to win the down no matter what, And there's times where it's just like poker or Texas Hold'em where, look, you got to play the long game, right? And Rodgers is doing that. But I want to make an argument that, like, if the 7 extra interceptions that Tom Brady has means that there are 14 to 16 throws, which I'm totally pulling out of my butt. I just made up that number. But like for every one interception, does that mean that he tries to fit it in a tighter window 3 or 4 more times?
Right.
And does that result in more first downs over time? So while
extending
he might
drives,
be
leading to scores,
he might be padding his interception stat, but that has a direct correlation. So when I saw that tweet, I didn't look at it like, oh, that guy, one's better than the other. Because F that. Because you know what? The Patriots are in a much better place right now. I would rather be where the Patriots are right now.
And they just lost.
Than where Green Bay is right now. So ultimately, I'm looking at stats that one person is supposed to bet. We talked about this about the quarterback rating.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there's sometimes where you're like, does Rodgers just not try to throw an interception so he can pad his quarterback rating?
Right.
There's something to be said about that. It's almost like a conspiracy theory this year, right?
Oh, big time.
So I don't know the answer to this. Like, someone would have to go and be like, okay, here are all the throws, and then here's an interception. And for all those throws between interceptions, there are 3 to 4 more than what Rodgers has versus throwing, right? That's really nerdy for me, but I do feel like it's a mentality thing of like, you know, you can have the one extreme of Favre where it's like you just always throw it away or you're just always throwing it and trust your arm and go for it. And then you have the other side, which is Rodgers, which is really cerebral of like, I'm going to live to play another down. And how sick have we gotten this year at Rodgers just rolling right, rolling left. There's not really anything going on. He totally just disregards the check down and throws it away. And how many of those could have resulted had he been a little risky? A little more risky. Now we talked about Rodgers. It's like, okay, well, he knows more than us how much his groin has affected him, how much his shoulder has affected him. His injury stuff, he doesn't tell anyone. Only he knows. So I could be saying this all the while. The guy's like, dude, you're an asshole, Corey. Like, I'm hurt, right? Yeah, and he can't tell anyone.
Like, I can't step into it
I can't do those things.
Tweaks every time I do it.
Yeah, and so he's like, I'm not taking those risks because I know in my heart I'm not going to make that throw, which is a bigger issue. But I do kind of feel like...
But at the same time, the moment you step between the white lines, you are judged accordingly. In 2003, Brett Favre had a broken thumb. You know, he still played through it. And we all knew he had a broken thumb. We all knew things were going to be wonky sometimes, but you played and you judged him accordingly. Like, that's the thing where the NFL and teams in general do a disservice to the player, because remember back in the day when Atari Bigby was like ripped mercilessly, and then it turns out that offseason was like, oh yeah, he was playing through like a broken knee.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, these are the things that, okay, fine. I understand the whole aspect of don't let the opponent know, blah, 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 blah. But teams could do a better job, and I think players could do a better job of, okay, look, understanding, because I heard from a guy today in the locker room who got ripped on by a player because of something he wrote. And it's like, look, you step on between the lines, you put it on tape, it is going to be talked about.
That's the job.
Especially in 2018.
Yep.
Where everybody's breaking down tape, everyone's putting it online, everyone's watching it, everybody's got an opinion on it. And that's why because someone asked me this the other day. I used to like really, you remember with Vine and like my phone, I was like really like kind of getting the nitty gritty of a lot of the like line play or like the inner workings of a play, etc. But at this point now, because back, this was like 10 years ago. Like now.
Yeah, nobody had that.
Nobody did it. But now it's like you've got X players.
It's ubiquitous, yeah.
But you've got like really knowledgeable guys like breaking down stuff online each and every day. It's like, okay, well, I know what I know, but I sure as hell know what I don't know. And it's like not even close to somebody like Matt Bowen, who's putting up like play breakdowns every day, working for, you know, ESPN matchup show. Like, you don't need my voice there anymore. You know, I did my job, but like I'll still point stuff out that I find interesting. And when I look at Rodgers, and to your point, the whole throwaway thing, the whole lack of interceptions thing, I thought our buddy Paul Noonan over at Acme Packing Company had a great post about that. I think it was last week. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend doing so. He talked about the mentality and kind of going overboard in this avoidance of interceptions. And I agree with you. I think it is a mentality thing. And I think it's interesting that you point out the Joe Montana thing, because that's something I hadn't thought about. But like that is how he grew up, right? I mean, he's talked about it often. Growing up, watching Joe Montana, Montana was very careful with the football.
Very careful.
And
but he threw it in some tight spots. Yeah.
I mean, look at the catch, for God's sake. Oh. You know, the NFC Championship.
And he was a very cerebral quarterback.
He was indeed. He was a guy, he went to the third round because of a quote-unquote lack of physical skills. Yeah. You know? And he's one of the greatest of all time. So,
but I also think
I would agree with your assessment there.
I would think for us, thank you, Nagler, that's a rarity. I would think for us, okay, as football fans,
right?
I guess my whole point is, I wouldn't necessarily look at, like, yes, if you have more interceptions than touchdowns, that's bad. I'm just saying, like, let's not be Americans and just take it to the extreme like we always do and just be like, if you have zero interceptions, you're the greatest quarterback of all time. I don't know that that's true in today's NFL.
Well, I mean, it's all
you about... You want to limit them,
it's
but...
It's all about assessing risk.
At what
risk,
yeah.
Rodgers assesses it in a different way than most quarterbacks. It's helped him win... two MVPs. So it's hard to argue that the guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Yes.
Obviously he does. To my, the thing I always point out, and it's funny you say as fans, because hello, we're fans.
Yes.
I come to this for entertainment. And I tell you what.
I hope no one comes to this show for entertainment.
I know, because they'll be bored out of their skull. But I'll tell you what. When I go to the ballpark or I turn on my television, I can tell you 10 times out of 10 which one I want to see. Between Brett Favre fitting it in between three Bengals to Dom Beebe in the end zone. Yeah, it could have been picked. It wasn't. It was a touchdown. I felt awesome about it. I probably jumped on my couch. It was great. Or, say, same area of the field. There's a possibility for that throw. I'm going to eat it, have a sack, or throw it away. I know which one I'm signing up for. And I know which one I enjoy a hell of a lot more. Everyone's going to get on me about it. They always do.
Because
that's great.
Because I remember
that's how you do it.
Because I remember the interceptions too, where you're like,
and that's
they're
fine.
Driving down the field and you're just
what's
like,
so
ah!
Do you remember, like, remember that feeling that towards the end of Favre's career, like, actually, I would say
you
like
just
back
thought he was
going to
intercept it all the time.
No, it wasn't that. At least not for me. For me, it was, okay, is it a run or a pass? Oh, it's a pass. Oh, God, here he goes. Here he goes. Oh, God.
Yeah,
and then, like, as soon as the ball left his hand, you just went, because you didn't know, but
it was going to be.
Like, it could have been a pick. It could have been a great play. It could have been maybe nothing, maybe an incomplete, whatever. But you never really. Now with Rodgers, it used to be wherever he's throwing it, I'm pretty confident it's not going to get picked.
Yeah.
Now when Rodgers lets it go, I'm like, oh, it's going out of bounds.
Yeah.
Well, he's just throwing it away. Especially once he breaks contain, it's like. Well, it used to be, oh, he gets outside. Anything could happen. This is where magic exists. Now it's like, oh, and now here comes the throwaway. And it does almost every time.
This year it did.
So to me, that's, again, purely as a fan, purely as watching football for entertainment, I would much rather have you try.
I really think that Aaron Rodgers has to take this offseason and he has to rebuild himself.
Well, and that's a big part of needing a new head coach and a new voice and a new offense.
But a lot of it's him.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, absolutely.
He's got to do an assessment that maybe he's never done before or doesn't realize he had to do, but something has to happen because we can't have another season like this with this quarterback. It's unacceptable.
Well, that's the thing. It'll be interesting to see if next year he comes out, he's healthy, doesn't get injured week one, and then we go along and it's more of the
same.
And
we're doing this?
Ooh,
no.
Daddy.
No.
Ooh, things will get interesting then.
No.
Things will get spicy then, let me tell you. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I think he's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. All right, I still do think that.
Wait, hold on.
What?
Hold on. Because someone just put it on our chat. I got to address this because, funnily enough, this is the next thing. I hope we have this tweet because I got this tweet today on the old timeline. Poor Matt B. I had to call him out. I trade Aaron Rodgers to Jacksonville, get back huge draft capital, get Flacco for two or three years, grab a draft a QB and rework the roster while I have my rookie QB on his rookie contract. Granted, Murphy and company would be hated at least until the next championship. What do you think? Oh, Matt B. I just retweeted it and said, I think it's going to be a long offseason.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these are the types of scenarios that Packer fans are dreaming up. And someone just in the chat literally just said, trade Rodgers to Jacksonville. Okay, first of all, if you trade Aaron Rodgers this offseason, you are committing cap suicide.
Yeah, you are.
The entire signing bonus is prorated, people. Yeah. It all accelerates if you trade him, thereby setting off a nuclear bomb on your salary cap. But forget all that. You just committed to this guy.
Yeah. No, I believe in Aaron Rodgers.
He is your quarterback.
People shouldn't take that as a thing. Like, the guy is special, and we believe in Aaron Rodgers. I think both of us believe in him as a quarterback.
I 100% believe in Aaron Rodgers.
This is distinctions inside of, like, this season. Like, it's unacceptable. He doesn't have – it's unacceptable some of the fundamentals he displayed this season. It's not unacceptable that he was a terrible quarterback. I'm not saying that. You look at his stats, he's a great quarterback. It's unacceptable that he's just giving up on the fundamentals to me. That's what it is.
Well, and it's funny too because it used to be it didn't matter. He had a lack of fundamentals and was extremely productive.
But when
I show you plenty of throws,
yes, but when I'm
stretch of
but when I'm saying
running the table where he's completely unfundamental.
When I'm saying fundamentals, I'm not just talking about throwing mechanics.
Right, not just
I'm talking about. Hey, maybe listen to the coach and do a drive for the coach says instead of rethinking it. Maybe reassess your ability to call plays. Maybe reassess everything about you. Maybe reassess why you go A, B, C and don't go to the check down and think that's not enough and run it when you're injured. Maybe think about these things, those fundamentals.
A reassessment.
Like, remember what it's like to be a quarterback and not being so great, right? Get back to the thing that made you
build
who you are.
Back up.
Yeah, and basketball players, LeBron's done this. Yeah. All the greats do this. You have to do this, right? Everybody says you're so great, and it gets to your head. No one is immune to that. No one.
Father Time marches on.
No one. And Father Time marches on.
And he's undefeated. So, yeah, absolutely, 100%. Could not agree more. Said very well. Finally. Last thing, I want to give a shout-out, congrats to Chad Sanders.
Chad.
A patron on our Patreon page. He is the latest winner of our Cheesehead TV Overstock T-shirt giveaway.
Overstock.
Well, that's what it is. It's the Overstock T-shirt giveaway. He's won a Cheesehead TV shirt. He has not yet selected which shirt he wants, but I know it's not a lot of ballgame left because those are all gone. So a Cheesehead TV shirt is on his way whenever he chooses to let us know which one he wants. Congrats to him. If you would like a brand new
Brand new.
But overstocked t-shirt that we have to get rid of. We're giving them away to patrons on our Patreon page, $5 a month. You support everything we do here at Cheesehead TV, including this here program, because these helmets, people, they don't pay for themselves.
There's only one helmet.
This beer, it doesn't get restocked. You're paying for buy me a beer, people.
Well, and we're continuing in the offseason. We're going to have a lot of stuff planned for the draft.
We'll get to that next week. We'll tease the people.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere.
And we'll still be doing daily chats, although they may not be daily once the coach gets
hired. We're still going to be doing weekly chats.
Well, we'll do, like, twice a week. Three times a week. We'll do a couple times a week.
We'll see.
But we're not disappearing.
Right.
We'll still be active. So thank you, everybody, who is a patron on our Patreon page. Your names are all in the credits.
And we are going to have Madden on Friday.
Madden on Friday, baby.
And watch party on Sunday. I'll be at the game.
He'll be at the game. I'll be here. Corey will be watching on his phone from MetLife Stadium, no doubt. Anything else for the fine folks out there, Corey?
No, let's just win on Sunday.
There you go. Well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who connects with us all across the internet, be it here at Cheesehead TV, any of our social channels. You guys really help make this a unique fan experience. It's why Corey and I are here. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
Hey, Winston, I'm sorry. Where is the Winston that has given us illumination and information in past press conferences? Do we do something that you're down on us again? But this was what, last week, it didn't go very well, and we want to talk about your guys, and I'm not quite sure what you want from us to make that happen.
I can't help you.